This podcast concerns current state of mental health in Ireland, and in particular the meeting that I went to today in Dublin, in which the independent monitoring group set up to monitor the effect of the implementation of a vision for change in Ireland, considered the views of members of the National Service Users Executive. So it's going to be all about mental health. I'm going to start by giving you an overview of what kind of a meeting it was, and then I'm going to go into some details, and towards the end of it I'm going to refer to some of the people who I actually met face-to-face afterwards and during the meeting as well. So let me start off by saying that this people who organised this meeting are the National Service Users Executive, which is an elected body, elected by users of the mental health service in Ireland. And the context is that the government has had a mental health strategy and an implementation plan running for some time, and the government is committed on paper to keeping up that strategy and monitoring the progress of it. And the independent monitoring group's job is to examine what's going on and report annually, and they have a report coming out very soon, I believe. The meeting started at 10 and finished at about 1:15. It was opened by John Redigan, the head of the NSUE, and the official opening was by John Saunders, the chair of the Independent Monitoring Group. There were a series of short discussions around themes which had been decided in advance. There were also some free discussion. There was a coffee break, and then there was a question and answer session towards the end, and it all finished with some tea, coffee and sandwiches. So that was the kind of event it was. There must have been over 100 people there in a room, all in clustered in groups of about 10 to 20, and lots of discussion, flip charts were used, things were written up, and the outcome of this meeting will feed into the report which the National Service Users Executive is preparing and is going to publish before the end of May. So it was very, very timely. So the meeting began with John Saunders giving a summary of the major changes which had taken place in Irish mental health in recent years, and he announced these changes without being judgmental. In other words, he said some of them were for the better and some of them may not be for the better. And I'll give you a list of the ones. There are about 15 of them in all, and I'll just kind of run through them quickly. Beginning with the 1902 Mental Health Act, implemented fully in 2006. Then setting up, that involved the setting up of the new Mental Health Commission, tribunals to represent people who were incarcerated against their will in psychiatric establishments. Vision for Change itself, the strategy, was published in 2006, and together at the same time, the Criminal Law Insanity Act was passed. Going back a couple of years before that, the HSE was created. That's the body responsible for administering, operating, planning, perhaps even, the whole of Irish health, and the regional health boards, which existed before that, which were dissolved. Now, at this point, John Saunders said that the progress had been uneven, inconsistent, and somewhat slow. And he said it in a very quiet, matter-of-fact way, without jumping up and down. Further changes that had taken place in Irish mental health that I noted were the setting up of the Independent Monitoring Group today. That group reports on an annual basis. The interim establishment, way back, by Jenny Kelly and John Redigan and others of the NSUE, the users movement that I referred to in an earlier audio boot today. There's been the closure of the institutions, centres, hospitals, buildings which were not fit for purpose in this period of time. The HSE has had a staff embargo. There was in 2009, there's been a public service moratorium, which is jargon for saying that if somebody leaves, they're not allowed to be replaced. There have been the the planning and design of four of what are called forensic hospitals. I'm not totally sure what they are. The Central Mental Hospital, its services have expanded and begun to do benefit other parts of the country other than Dublin. John Saunders also referred to Jigsaw, Headstrong, and a service which is friendly to young people in connection with mental health, particularly suicide. The internet has come along, and there's an organization called Inspire and has a website called Reach Out, the development of suicide prevention policy. We referred also to Jenny O. I don't know what this is, but it's an organization which has centers which are in partnership with government. There has been great debate on the recovery concept. This is the idea that you can actually recover from being mentally unwell rather than simply have to go on taking medication for the rest of your life and remain in a solid state of unrecovered. There's been a debate about electroconvulsive therapy, something I have extremely strong views about, which I won't refer to here. In 2006, the Independent Mental Health Coalition, which is a separate body called, and he referred also to Mental Health Reform, the CEO of which his name is Orla, and I met her later on in the after the meeting was over. I'll come back to her later on. What else? What else did he refer to? This is the Irish Advocacy Network, Mental Health Leadership Programme in partnership between the HSE and Dublin City University, and the trialogue approach, an approach which greatly appeals to me. Critical Voices Network, something I knew absolutely nothing about until today. Public awareness about mental health has grown, he said, and there's been a lot of media debate, and it's become much more mainstream. And finally, the last thing he referred to were the setting up of consumer panels. So there you have it. That's a kind of a little summary of the key developments in Irish mental health in recent years. Now, we then had three workshops, and I'll give you the topics first. And first one was entitled Offering More Than Medication, and it was all about what have you experienced, what has been offered to you that has been other than medication, and that was a question we had to consider. The second workshop was about the topic of what supports have you had outside the mental health services, so from other places. And the third one was all about community-based services, and based on the idea that it said that hospitals, daycare services, clinics and respite centres and everything, all of these places are to be increased as institutional care is run down. But we were asked to consider what has been our experiences of that. Is it really expanding? And just on that theme, I found out the shocking news that in the Wexford and Waterford area, there was recently up to 80 available slots for people who needed to be looked after. These were 40 of those slots called beds were cut and are to be, there's some talk about producing 10 more, but at the most optimistic, it sounds like as if, you know, at least 30 beds have been cut out of a total of 80, which leads me to wonder, well, what happens to people who are in a very, very bad mental health state? I'm talking about being at serious risk to themselves. What's happened to the facilities for them? So that's it. They were the three. I won't go into all the details of what was said at the workshops. I took some notes, but for the most part, I listened. And we then got to move on from there, and I have got some really good examples came up in conversation of three exemplars of good practice, and I named them without having anything to say about it. These weren't not my views, but John of God's in Stillorglan in Dublin was referred to as a real day care hospital, a place where best practice was followed. New Ross in County Wexford was referred to by people in the group I was in as an example of really good practice in the same vein, all together within the public system. And Talla Daycare got a good old plug too. There's a program called New Horizons going there. There was a lot of discussion, good breaks. We went on then to open up the topic for conversations and questions. Yeah, there were lots of questions which were highlighting the fear of loss of funding and the effect that has on whether people were able to lobby effectively if they felt that their funding was threatened. There was a reference to the HSE having a vested interest in pharmaceuticals. I'm just reporting these things. I'm not weighing in behind them, but somebody there referred to the violation of his own rights and how he'd been injected forcibly, and he really wanted to have a good old rant against that. How to come off medication. One person stood up and said all the questions which we were asked to consider in the workshops were not really the most important questions. The most important question was, how can you possibly come off medication? Somebody else said it was dangerous to close beds before there were alternatives in place. Another person said there was no shortage of money for drugs. There had been a freeze on recruitment, all right, but there was plenty of money available for drugs. The other questions that came through. Our best work is done under the surface, was what John Redigan from NSUE said. He's got a different kind of a brief than most people would expect. He basically is there to gather the views of service users of all types, not just those who are mad keen on lobbying and have their own hobby horse. But he's working behind the scenes, really, under the surface, his language. Now, there was a bit of controversy. And in the short period of time, I suppose it was a big controversial issue about a thing called the Capacity Act. The end of this current year, the government will bring forward, if it survives, an act of Parliament called the Capacity Act. And the issue was whether AD, what does AD stand for? Advanced directives. Whether advanced directives would be in there, and that was discussed. What else was of real substance, you know? There was a person there from a housing association who was really keen to find out how this housing association could work with the public service, interagency working. What do they have to do? And people were looking for examples. There was some reference to West Cork in this capacity. Okay, so look, they were the kind of question and answers. And I leave several of things out, like including somebody lobbying in favour of St John's Wort, somebody, a social worker, lobbying in favour of a community-developed approach and saying that community mental health is not really work, not really in the community mental health. Teams are not really in the community. Moving on then to John Saunders' response to all of these. Before I go on to that, I'll tell you, I did a little bit of a rant myself around the idea that basically said that I really thought it would be a very good idea if when people went to their doctor distressed, that instead of them being steered in the direction of medication, that they were offered a menu, just like you would if you went in a restaurant and the doctor would say, well, these are the kind of things we have on offer in our practice here. And they, you know, would include many different things, activities, reading, exercise, Reiki, meditation, medication, a whole wide range that the doctor was able to offer, rather than steering people in the direction of medication. That was my own personal hobby horse. John Saunders responded, really, and he actually said a number of very interesting things, and I'll run through them very quickly, and just in the interest of giving you the whole story, and I know it's a very long piece of audio to listen to, but John said he gave a personal response, and I guess that freed him up in order to say a few more things. He said, we have decreasing resources. He said, we need the right kind of services, meaning that in the old days there was more money around. If you like, a greater percentage of the health budget was spent on mental health in the past. But it didn't mean that the right kind of services were in place. He said that as chair of SHINE, which is an organisation which particularly majors on schizophrenia, but also on all mental health issues, he said, can criticise the HSE without fear for its funding. He also said in Ireland that we have a very medicalised service. And he said we need some protocols, real protocols, for what happens inside institutions. Bill of Rights, he wasn't too keen on the idea of a Bill of Rights. He said it worked in the United States because it fits in with their legal system, but over here it's, quote him, not worth a curse. He said that in a very quiet, restrained way, by the way. He's in favour of legal directives, and he said that advanced directives are needed. He said that a report is even coming out tomorrow. But he said, most of all, the big issue is culture. The respect, I suppose, in my language, that advanced directives would be treated with by people. Right, he entirely favoured shifting to seeing that we have a bag of something. The recovery approach is a very positive one and predisposed to emphasising the positive aspects of the situation, the real hope that we do have. He was critical, I suppose, of the situation on counselling, that you privately you have absolutely no idea what you're paying for. He said it needs regulation. And the role of recovery and mental health training, he highlighted. He said that psychiatrists still don't have recovery at the heart of its education programme for young doctors who are becoming psychiatrists. Need something to radically alter there. He said that the nurses have a much more advanced approach to recovery. He also, there were questions back to him then about the family support services. Somebody stood up and said, look, what we need most of all is a spread of respect. Somebody referred to an 8-week program called RAPS, WRAPS, which is run over St. Pat's Hospital and other places, which is apparently comes highly recommended. Mental Health Reform as an organisation were highlighted, and indeed Mental Health Reform were in some ways, their strapline is promoting improved mental health services. They actually have members. I'll read you out the list of members of this organisation because it's a coalition and it seemed to me to be a very good one. Amnesty International are there. I'm not sure what order these are in. Body-wise, that's to do with people who don't eat enough to keep well, I think, and bulimia and things like that. I forget the proper term. Cork Mental Health Foundation, Dual Diagnosis Ireland, Focus Ireland, Gateway Mental Health Project, GROW, HALE, that's Housing Association for Independent Living, Headstrong, National Centre for Youth Mental Health, Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy, Inclusion Ireland, there are about another 10 to go, Irish Advocacy Network, Irish Refugee Council, Peter McVerry Trust and SHINE. Moving to the last third, Simon Communities of Ireland, Shliela Housing Association, STEER, don't know what that is, STEER, St. Patrick's University Hospital, another organisation called Suicide or Survive, the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, the College of Psychiatry of Ireland, and last but not least, the Rehab Group. So they're a coalition. I can't honestly tell you an awful lot about them. Wish I knew more. So I did meet the CEO. She gave me her card, and it's in my pocket, and I'm running out of time. So what will I say just before we end, really? That's the 23 organisations. Let me tell you what the CEO of Mental Health Reform particularly lobbied on. That the 35 million euros which was saved through their lobbying campaign. So that is basically combating cynicism. Lobbying does work. Emphasise that Mental Health Reform is a resource for people to use. It has an agenda for action. It makes it very easy for you to email your TD and collected more than 6,000 signatories recently. Okay, was it a worthwhile meeting to go to? What did I get out of it? Well, I made a few contacts, and there, that's another story. But I also felt that I was in the presence of policymakers, and that I came away much more informed, and that I was in a better position to pass on some information to other people. And I have absolutely no idea what the effect of listening to this audio might have on people, but I would ask you to spread it, pass it on to other people, put it in an email if you can, and send it to some friends, because you never know what good you might do without realizing you were doing it. Anyway, I'm very glad I went to Dublin today. Thank you very much for listening.